develop a warrior spirit. In other words, learn to live with pain and discomfort and continue playing the game even if you get hurt. Now listen to me. Does anyone here ever play a contact sport? You've ever played a contact sport like soccer, rugby, or Irish football, or Aussie rules football? I mean, that's an awesome game. But any contact sport, it's inevitable you're going to get hurt. I mean, you just make up your mind, I'm in this game, and therefore I'm going to get hurt. When I was playing rugby, first league rugby and first league soccer, both together in winter, I loved it. I reconciled my mind to the fact I was going to get hurt. But I made sure I hurt the opposition more than they hurt me. And if I got hurt, I picked myself up and I kept playing the game. But I made sure that I strengthened that weak, that hamstring, that torn muscle, whatever it was, that shock kneecap. I made sure I strengthened it so that it didn't plague me further down the road. But I had to keep playing for the team's sake. Now, make sure when you get hurt that you get up and you keep playing the game and you don't quit. But in doing so, make sure that you inflict a greater hurt on the kingdom of darkness by robbing it of people and increasing the kingdom of God. Please, I sense in my spirit that there are people who are hurt here tonight. And I'm going to read a little scripture to you and tell you a story that is just for you. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This is just for you. Hebrews 10 verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, tenacity, hanging in there, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And then just skip two verses down to verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. We are not going to quit. And I'm instilling that in you. You don't quit.
A verse of scripture I want to drop into your heart in that context is 1 Corinthians 15:58. And I want to say this to you with the same emotion that Brother Paul wrote it to the Corinthian church. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is never in vain in the Lord. Now, that little word, abound, in the middle of that verse, is a challenging word. It moves us out of the average comfort zone. It means to go beyond the mark set, to move above the low standards that maybe we are importing into our lives from our peers around us. That's why we always need a challenge from God's Word. There was a man in the last century, his name was Stephen Grillet, a horse riding preacher. His motto was always abound. He had it plastered all over his house. He made his family paranoid about always abounding. And he would travel long distances at great expense to preach to just a handful of people, hoping to get them saved. And he received an invitation from a lumber camp, two states away from his. Knowing the long journey, he prepared well for it, got on his horse, and he rode across this distance to this lumber camp. To arrive there, to find the place empty and deserted. He hadn't known that the day before, the lumberjacks had been given instruction by their superiors to go to another part of the forest to fell trees. Well, he was angry, he was frustrated. He got off his horse and he thought, oh, I've come to preach, so I'm going to preach. He took his Bible out of his saddlebag and for 45 minutes preached with frustration to the trees. And then got on his horse and rode off home and chalked it up to experience. Well, some 35 years later, he was in England, a much older man, obviously, and walking across London Bridge. And I think that was the bridge that the Americans bought, and they put it up across the Colorado River in Arizona. They thought they were buying Tower Bridge. And a stranger ran up to Stephen Grillet, grabbed him and began to shake him. Mr. Grillet, Mr. Grillet, I found you at last. And the Grillet pushed him away and said, sir, I'm sorry, I don't know you. Are you insane? Are you trying to push me in the water? He said, no, sir. Do you remember that lumber camp you came to preach at all those years ago? He said, I've never forgotten it. He said, we were so sorry. We didn't have time to let you know that we were instructed to go into another part of the forest and we couldn't be there for the day when you came to preach to us. He said, I was on the committee of non-believers that organized for you to come and preach a bit of religion into us, the terminology he used. He said, and I prayed all these years that I'd be able to meet up with you again, and here I recognized you. And he said, but if you've never seen me before, how do you recognize me? He said, I was chosen the morning that you arrived to come from the other section of the forest to come back to base camp to fetch a piece of necessary equipment we'd left behind. And he said, I came there just as you started preaching. I was too embarrassed to reveal myself. I listened to your entire message and I wanted to call out to you, but was still too embarrassed and also convicted. And he said, I watched you ride off into the distance, and then the conviction of my sin hit me. He said, I knelt down under those pine trees and committed my life to Jesus Christ. And sir, I want to tell you this. This news of what you sowed into my life that day. He said, I led most of the lumber camp to Christ over the next few months. He said, I have led over 1,000 people to Jesus, myself personally, over these years, and 3 of whom I am financing now as a businessman in mission work in other lands. And Stephen Grellich just stood there with the tears running down his cheeks. Because he based his life on that verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. He had sought to abound knowing that his labor would not be in vain, and it seemed that on just that one occasion God had failed that verse for him. That labor was not fruitful. That it was in vain. And God caught up with him 35 years later through that same man to tell him, you don't have to see the results. You just have to abound and put your heart into what you're doing and do it with all your might for Jesus' sake. And he'll explode it and turn it around to something that will increase his kingdom beyond your wildest dreams.